Tunisia's president today suspended parliament indefinitely and fired the country's defense minister. It comes one day after he unilaterally fired the prime minister. Nick Schifrin reports on moves that critics call a coup, one decade after the Arab Spring.
In the birthplace of the Arab Spring, a crisis of democracy. Tunisian President Kais Saied said he had to remove the prime minister and suspend parliament in order to, quote, save the state.
Today, I have taken responsibility. Those who claim that this matter is related to a coup need to revise your constitutional lessons.
Tunisians have been protesting a COVID-19 spike, a failing economy, and called for the very actions that Saied took. But democracy watchers and the opposition party call the moves a coup. Supporters of the moderate Islamist party that holds the most parliament seats clash with the president's supporters.
The decisions by President Kais Saied are not correct, against the Constitution and reality.
In Washington, the Biden administration was not ready to use a label.
A determination about a coup is a legal determination, and we would look to the State Department to conduct a legal analysis before making a determination.
And to discuss the events in Tunisia and the U.S. response, I'm joined by Sarah Yerkes, a senior fellow at the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. Sarah Yerkes, welcome to the NewsHour. So, was this a coup?
From where I stand, it's a coup. I think if you look at the Constitution, the way the president's justifying this, there's no way that you read this that it looks like it's justified. He is not allowed to dissolve parliament. That's against the Constitution. So, to me, it's a coup.
Saied is an outsider, but while he was campaigning, he did warn that he wanted a direct democracy rather than a parliamentary democracy. Do we know what his intentions are? Do we know what his goals are?
Unfortunately, he's really a black box. We don't know what his long game is here. I mean, it seems right now that he's looking to consolidate power in the hands of one person, and that person happens to be him. So I think, you know, in the long run, he's probably trying to turn Tunisia into more of a presidential authoritarian system than a parliamentary one. But unfortunately, he hasn't really told us yet what his long-term plans are.
Although he has denied that it was a coup this afternoon.
Yes.
Let's take a little bit of a step back and talk about these protests that he is claiming are the reason that he's taken the actions that he's taken. So what led to the protests? What are Tunisians so upset about today?
Tunisia, unfortunately, is undergoing multiple crises at the same time. And the biggest one right now is the pandemic. They are having their worst COVID numbers of the entire pandemic as we speak. And people are understandably very frustrated, very angry. The health system's collapsing. So people took to the streets this last time over that, over the failure of the government to adequately address the pandemic. They're also facing tremendous economic challenges. And so people are just really frustrated and fed up with this government.
And obviously, we've seen cuts to subsidies of food and fuel recently, but also fundamental political infighting, right?
Absolutely. From the get-go, the president and the prime minister have really been at odds with each other. Even though the president handpicked the prime minister, they have just been fighting with each other. They've been publicly undermining each other, publicly speaking out against each other from the beginning. So when this opportunity came for the president to unseat the prime minister, to remove him, he seized on it.
Tunisia was, of course, the only success story in the Arab Spring, a largely nonviolent removal of a leader, the establishment of a democracy. What do these events say about democracy in Tunisia 10 years later?
So I don't want to yet put sort of democracy in a coffin. I think, you know, Tunisia's democracy still has a fighting chance. I think, you know, if we look at the way these protests are being reported upon, the way that people are allowed to go into the streets, the way that people can criticize the government, they can go out there and call this a coup and they're not getting arrested, that shows that democracy is alive and that it is functioning. Now, this is a major threat to Tunisia's democracy. I think, you know, when we look back at this in 6 months, maybe even a month, I might have something different to say. Maybe the democracy will kind of ended. But for now, I do think that we should still consider that democracy is alive and we need to protect it. The United States, Europe, other democracies need to stand up and protect Tunisia's democracy while it is still alive.
So you just said what the U.S. and Europe should do. Today, the U.S. spoke with senior Tunisian government officials, released a statement saying that no one should, quote, stifle democratic discourse or take any actions that lead to violence. What should the U.S. do?
I think the U.S. should be out there making much bolder statements and, frankly, calling this a coup, as I think it is. I mean, that needs to go through the correct legal channels. But frankly, I think that, you know, what we're seeing is that the United States is kind of biding its time. They're in a wait and see mode. They're not being forceful in condemning the actions that President Saied has taken. And I think that that's a missed opportunity for this administration.
I want to switch gears to Iraq today. The Iraqi Prime Minister Mustafa al-Qadhimi was in the White House with President Joe Biden. President Biden announced the end of U.S. combat mission in Iraq, but American troops have not been fighting combat in Iraq. They've been advising and assisting. Why is it important for the U.S. to make this statement politically to help the Iraqi Prime Minister?
Look, I think, first of all, this fits into Biden's greater worldview and that he's trying to get the United States out of the Middle East. But domestically for the Iraqis and for Qadhimi, I think this is helpful to him. This helps show him the United States is no longer this kind of shadow hanging over them. He's facing all sorts of pressure to get the United States out. And so I think this is a little bit of a gift that Biden is giving Qadhimi in order to help him achieve his own domestic goals.
Sarah Yerkes, thank you very much.
Thank you.